And good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Lord's Ascension Day and happy Mother's Day. Will you join me as we read the scripture that will be the scripture for the sermon? And it comes from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 3rd through the 7th verses. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning rejoicing over the beauty of the day, rejoicing over celebration of families, but we come before you also, Lord, begging for you, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son, to come and take your place on the throne of this service, that you would reign over it, that no word would be spoken that is not of you, for you, and glorifies you. We ask and pray bountifully that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be worship and be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. I have been in church since before I was born, which is not an easy trick. But my parents, a baby is so gorgeous. He is so precious. I was brought to church as an embryo, as a baby growing in my mother's body. I've been in church absolutely all of my existence, and I can suffice to say that in my soon-to-be 70 years, I have heard some of the finest and some of the worst sermons that have ever been preached. And my father and I spent countless hours on the way home from church analyzing sermons. And many, many Sundays I was asking, Daddy, what in the world was the point of that sermon? And my dad had an expression and a thought for that that has stayed with me till this day. He'd always look at me and he'd say, Honey, there's always a pearl. God plants a pearl in every sermon. Watch for the pearl. And I still do. When I'm listening to Pastor Brian on Sunday morning, I'm glued to him. I'm waiting for every pearl. And we are fortunate to have such a blessed senior pastor who gives us so many pearls. I'm very grateful for that, as I know you are. So this morning, I hope to share a few pearls with you, and I'm not going to make you hunt for them. I'm going to point them out pretty clearly to you. Of course, we all know that today is Mother's Day, and most of us here have been blessed with great mothers who loved us. Many of you will spend this day happily with your mother or with your children or remembering wonderful times from your childhood. But Mother's Day is a day of rampant mixed emotions. We church folk do not like to talk about hard topics. We want a lot of hallelujahs, and sometimes the most honest hallelujahs are tears. The first 7 years that my family and I attended Oak Forest Church, on Mother's Day, I bought tiny red corsages and boutonnieres for all four of our children. My husband, Donald, and I joyously bounced into church, arms loaded with babies bedecked with flowers. It was a wonderful experience. And then at age 36, I lost my mother very, very unexpectedly. And I felt way too soon. And I haven't bought a Mother's Day flower since. Many of you sitting here today know exactly what I'm talking about. There are many people dealing with Mother's Day today who have known the pain of always wanting to be a mother, but it never happened. Still others have experienced the sorrow of miscarriage, and even others, may God have mercy on them, have buried a child. Mother's Day is traumatic for those people. And there are even people who have experienced tremendous estrangement from their own mother. To say the least, Mother's Day is complicated. So may I give you one pearl. If you are alive today, you were planned. Before the stars and the planets were hurled into space, God knew your name. He knew the number of hairs on your head. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, little Silas. Your biological parents may not have known you were coming, but God did. And when He designed you, He molded you out of His love. And He loves you so much that when sin entered the Garden of Eden, God could not bear the thought of ever being separated from you. Thank you for the amen. I appreciate that. As Adam and Eve exited the Garden of Eden, God saw a cross. And that cross was God's provision for you and me to never be separated from Him or His love. Pearl number one, you were planned by a holy, majestic God. You are precious. You're His most precious creation. Pearl number two, and this one you're not going to like as much. God planned every other human being on this earth, regardless of their color, their creed, their name, or their geography. So the next time you are tempted to hurl an insult at another of God's precious children, remember that person was too created and planned by a holy God. And that same cross that offers you salvation offers it to them, they too are part of God's design. What a different world it would be if we lived and loved out of that concept. Pearl number three, the fact that you are in this church today means you had a faith mother or a faith father, most of us many. It may have been your biological mother or your biological father. It may not have been. But someone told you that there is a God that loves you and that he had a son named Jesus who died for you. And you believed it. And that is why you are in church today. Because you had faith parents. I was blessed with biological parents of great faith. Over 100 times in my life, I actually heard my father say to my mother, "I'm worried about so-and-so's soul." And my father was not a minister. But he would say to my mother, "I am worried about so-and-so's soul, and I have to go talk to them." And my mother's response was always, "Candler, you go, and I'll pray." And I watched that all of my growing up years. What a rich heritage of faith I had. And then I had a saintly Sunday school teacher and vacation Bible school teacher, and her name was Lizzie Hicks. Some of you may remember her. And she absolutely was determined that I would learn the books of the Bible in the order that they came so that I could find scripture. And she drilled, sword drills into us for 10 days during Bible school and every single Sunday of my growing up years. You all remember sword drills? Where you stood with your Bible at your side and she would say, "Draw your sword." You'd pull up your Bible. She'd call out a scripture passage and we'd all scurry to be the first ones to find it. I still know the books of the Bible today because of Lizzie Hicks. But even more than that, and this is Jason's dental hygienist, Amanda Moss's great grandmother. Am I right? Great? Yeah, it would be her great grandmother. Yes. She lost her husband in a lumber accident when they were in their 30s. She raised four children by herself by riding, never owned a car, never had a driver's license. She rode a school bus to school and worked in the school cafeteria and raised those four children. I never heard a bitter word out of her. All I heard was stories of how good God had been and how he had stood by her through those hard times. And I will point out, she made rolls that would float off the pan and lemon pies that we would fight people for. She was an awesome, awesome saint, wonderful person. And then Donald and I were fortunate enough to come to Oak Forest one day. And my faith parents multiplied. When our little family of 3 and a half at that time, because I was expecting Ryan, who is here today, and Aaron, who is here, thank you both. Aaron was 3. I was expecting Ryan. And we came to visit, and Virginia Crawford, Keith's mother, chased us all the way to our car when the service was over to make sure that we knew we were welcome and that she wanted us to come back. It's probably why I'm still here, to tell you the truth. And that's been over 40 years ago. She became one of my most treasured friends. And she shared her faith with me time and time again. And I can't think back about that time in the old sanctuary when Donald and I and our four children filled the pew. And Alvin and Jesse Penland, Charles' parents, sat behind us every Sunday. And every Sunday we turned and shook hands with them. And Alvin was Donald's boss. He was the director of social services. Donald was a social worker. And then in the summers, I would be watching my children swim at Jack Bristol's pool, and Alvin would be watching Charles and Penny's children swim at Jack Bristol's pool, and Alvin would be pouring his faith into me. Alvin preached many, many sermons to me sitting beside that pool. James Price, one of the absolute founders of the faith in this church, and I'll never forget it. I had been involved in what I don't even think God remember now, but it was some skirmish at school. And James felt like I had stood for righteousness. And at that point in time, I was feeling pretty much whipped. And James walked up to me and he said, "Gwenell, I'm so proud of you. You stood up for the right." And I said, "James, I'm really hurt." And I can hear him just as clear as a bell. And James is Sarah Smith's uncle, in case any of you don't know. But James looked at me and said, "You know, I always said I'd rather be the one that was hurt than the one that did the hurting." I've never forgotten it. He poured faith into me. And when we first attended Oak Forest, Gerald Collins was the pastor. We lived one house away from the Oak Forest, Sweetwater, Hickory Stand parsonage. I was at home with two small children. Brenda, Jerry's wife, was at home with three small children. We became very, very close friends. And when we started coming to this church, Jerry was a man, he was a mechanic, wonderful mechanic. And God called him into the ministry as he worked on a car in the garage. You know, little things like geography and boundaries don't faze God. No, he was called. And if you saw that man in the pulpit, he was called. He glowed. He was like Moses come down from the mountain. I talked to him within this past month. Had him on my heart. And I called him up and I said, "Jerry, I just want you to know what an impact you had on my life." And this was his response. Still pouring faith into me. "Now, Gwenell, I just want you to remember that Jesus loves you. And there's nothing you've ever done and nothing you ever will do that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ." Wow. God has wasted a tremendous amount of love and grace and time and energy on me. I should be a far, far better Christian than I am for all the effort he put into me. And Scripture reminds us that to whom much is given, much is required. Because of all that effort and all those spiritual mothers and fathers that I had, I was compelled to share God's grace and mercy because so much has been given to me. And the same is true of you. So here comes pearl four. I was inundated with faith mothers and fathers, and I am so grateful for every one of them and the influence they had on my life. In the scripture I read this morning, Paul is speaking to Timothy, And he says, because of the faith lived out in your faith mothers, I know it is also lived out in you. That is true. You would not be here in church today had you not had faith mothers and fathers. Regardless of whether they were male or female or related to you biologically, they poured their faith into you. You stand where you stand in your walk as a disciple because of all those who came before you and poured their faith into you. And now, Jesus boiled it all down to one commandment. There were only 600 and some by the time Jesus came along. The Jewish people had managed to turn 10 into over 600. They could have called them the Congress of the United States. Human beings have a wonderful way of complicating things. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, all the way to a cross. So the question for you today is, whose faith mother or father are you? Who is God calling you, yea, compelling you? It was not a suggestion. It was not just a good idea. It was a commandment. And you are commanded to share your faith and pour it into the lives of a hungry world that is starving for the good news of Jesus Christ. I challenge you, as you leave this church today, that you look around you and that you pray mightily and that you ask God to open your eyes and show you the children, the young adults, the middle-aged people, the older people who are hungry for hope, and we hold the key. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.